When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to part two of season 6, episode 21. The song is, oh shit, what's the name of the song? Something insensitive? How insensitive? Sorry, you got your two hosts, Carmen and Kelsey. Kelsey was just telling me about something regarding her Monday routine, giving me some insight there. But also, if you haven't had any Instagram notices lately, there was a moment where Kelsey bought me some crumble cookie key lime pies, mm-hmm. and they were just fucking so good. But what were you about to say? I cut you off because I wanted
part
us to
part of my Monday routine is checking Crumble's website and finding out what the cookies are for the week and figuring out if it's worth my time and money to go and get any of them.
You like key lime pie though.
I do. It's not my favorite. I didn't feel called to go get it when I first saw it. I thought it was just a key lime pie inspired cookie.
Ah.
So when I saw that it was actually just mini key lime pies, I was like, oh, this is so perfect. Like, and so then later on when there was a scenario that warranted a little treat, I was like, that's the perfect little treat.
Yeah, so that's one of those foods I'm lucky that Jessica, it's both a gift and a curse that Jessica is not a fan of key lime pie. A gift because I didn't have to share them, but curse, I don't often have key lime pie in the house because then I'll be forced to eat the whole fucking pie myself. And that's just really not healthy for anyone. But it is fun.
It is a good time. Before we get back into this, we're going to start by, because I literally, just as you started this episode, got a review sent to our email.
Oh!
So I have a new shout out. Maeve just sent us an email. She says she loves the podcast. She's a Spotify listener, so she can't write a review there, so she wanted to send us her review.
Bless you, Maeve. Bless.
She says, Grey's is a comfort show, and she has watched it more times than she can count, and she loves the episode Grandma
got run over by a reindeer.
Yeah, we did that one already, right?
Yeah,
that was like early, that was like season 2, I think.
Yeah,
as I started to say it, I was so confident that we had already watched it, and then as I started to say it, I was like, but have we? Sorry, questioning
yeah, we
myself.
Have
okay. She said, I love how your podcast feels less like a talk show and more like a conversation with friends. You guys are a dynamic duo and so funny. Thank you, Maeve. You're a gem.
Thanks.
And an angel.
So, Maeve, you know what you should do?
This episode.
Maeve, when you're listening to this, I need you to go to www.patreon.com/Grey's Academy Pod.
Stop bullying.
Join the Discord. And be a part of the community that thinks like you do. And this way you could talk to the dynamic duo of Kelsey mm-hmm. and Carmen all day long, every day. And learn how to crochet and knit from our other listeners. But seriously, in all seriousness, that's awesome. I love getting to hear that.
Thank you for sending
that. It's truly so, yeah, it's so kind. Anyone else out there on Spotify listening, send us these reviews. We love these quotes. These are great. Yeah. We are so happy to see this.
Obviously right now we just got this one live, so I told Carmen, but when we get emails, I typically like read them, and if they're spoily free, just screenshot and send it to him so that he can also enjoy the love that you guys send to us. And sometimes I'll just go through and like redact the spoily parts and or just send him clips of pieces of it. But yeah, it really does mean a lot when you guys like reach out and want to actually like take the time to reach out to talk to us. We think it's really, really cool. So yeah.
All right, I got a podcast, John. I was just going to add on to that too. I don't think that there is a limit on how many compliments you all can send us.
Carmen,
just for
like
who we, just for who we are as people.
Carmen's not the kind of person to shy away from receiving a compliment.
It's true, but only because they're always warranted.
That's
so
his lit life that he lives. That is his reality. Carmen lives in a reality where he's never gotten enough compliments a day in his life.
This compliment from Maeve was the first one I've received in my entire life.
That's
as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
And the next compliment that I get will be the first compliment I've ever received.
Okay, let's start with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
We have one person.
Bobby Corso.
No.
Okay. Melissa Corso.
No.
The mom who dies.
No.
Okay. The girl who's trying to fuck.
No.
The kid.
Yes.
What the fuck? Damn. Starting to run out of people.
Yeah. So this girl is kind of like a weird universe exploding person because her name is Alyssa Schaefer. This kid, her name is Alyssa Schaefer. She played Kelly in the episode. She was in one episode of Private Practice, and the episode of Private Practice she was in, she was only in LA, but it was technically one of the crossover episodes.
That we've already seen?
Yeah.
So she plays a different person in the same universe as part of the crossover.
Yeah.
Whoa. Kind of hate that.
Yeah, I don't love it, but I mean, I feel like with kids specifically, with babies, there's probably a plethora, right? You're getting into kids who you actually like need them to be good actors. You've got to have a more narrowed pool.
Yeah.
So I kind of understand. They like know that she's can do good things already. Like
they brought her back.
She's good. Yeah. Good for her. Honestly, good for Alyssa Schaefer.
And they said, Alyssa, we got a big role for you playing alongside Christina Yang. It's going to be a heavy episode. It's going to be an intense episode for Christina.
So. Also, I do want to say, though, when I was looking at the IMDb's, Bobby Corso did, in fact, do a 3-episode stint on The Suite Life of Zack and Cody. So.
Never watched that.
He was a chef. So. The Disney Channel vibes. Okay, so where should we start in this one?
Do you want to start with, I guess we could talk about Callie.
Yeah, that one's kind of short. Callie's in and out with this patient who is hitting on her immediately.
Jamie like Anders.
Within two minutes, she's hitting on Callie.
She's like, I lost a bet because I said this person's going to be an old fuddy-duddy, and my friend said, no way, they're gonna be a fucking smoke show, so I guess I lost $20, Dr. Smoke Show. So Callie is Dr. Smoke Show. She's really trying to go for it. The scene where she's like, can you just hold my hand,
and Callie's like, yeah,
I
can.
Because I care. Because I care about you.
Because I'm a good doctor. I'm sensitive.
Yeah, and Lexi and Charles are like, ooh, there was some steam. Ooh, child. And then she's like, you guys are perverts. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. They're not wrong.
No. There also, were sparks.
Nice to see Charlie and Reed. First episode in a while we've seen both of them.
I forgot they were alive.
Yeah, forgot about that merger.
And they get a line in my notes every week, and every week I'm disappointed.
Where are they? That's the line.
You know who else still gets a line every week? Izzy. Is she going to be here? I don't know. We'll wait.
And we'll say she has not been credited as a main character for 2 or 3 episodes now.
Didn't even notice that.
Yeah. And they switch Teddy to be credited as a main character.
Oh. So. Yes. Well, sounds like Izzy's gone forever.
You never know with John. She's just not a main character anymore. They're not. I think there is typically, to my understanding, in Hollywood, part of contracts is the way you are paid correlates with the way you are billed in a show. That is why it is a big deal for someone to be billed as like a guest star versus like a main cast versus like special appearance. So yeah, that might, you never know when someone might just show up that was previously a main character. They're not going to be rebuilt as a main character for a one-off episode.
Right. That's fair.
But yeah.
Well, I'm going to give her a line through the end of season 6. And then we'll see what happens after that, because it sounds like she's done after season 6.
Okay. So Callie, right. So Callie and this girl, they do the surgery, like not a big deal. They're flirting. And then the girl,
What was her deal? She was running?
She was biking. Someone like hit her with a car,
and she's got a injury on her knee that hurts a lot.
Shattered her knee or something, so they have to fix that. So surgery goes off without a hitch. Callie's like, okay, I'm not going to be here before you get discharged, but these are the things to watch out for. Like, call me if you have issues X, Y, or Z. She's like, can I call you if I'm a little drunk and it's in the middle of the night? And Callie's like, maybe not. And so she writes her number on her hand, and she says, just use it. If the spirit moves you.
She says, I'm Kim Possible, so call me, beat me if you want to reach me, and we can fuck.
I used to say, call me, beat me if you want to annoy me.
Was that your voicemail greeting?
No, for a while my voicemail greeting was a clip from Nick Kroll stand up. Is that the comedian's name? And he was talking about how one of his friends got really high, and for his comedy he wrote down everything the guy did. And he said he had changed his outgoing voicemail message to like, you've reached Carmen's phone, leave a messages. So I had changed my phone mail to, you've reached Kelsey's phone, leave a messages. I thought that was very funny in high school.
I'm sure this will be no surprise to anyone listening, but I was the guy who had one of those, hey, what's up?
Oh my God.
Nope. Hold on. I can't hear you. Hold on. Let me go in the other room real quick. Okay. All right. Try again. Can you hear me? Nope, I still can't hear you. It's probably because this isn't real. Leave a message.
Oh, I do hate you so much. That was me.
That's
the most obnoxious thing.
Yeah, I was that guy.
I have something that I actually don't know if you know about me that I was thinking about today. Did you know that when I was younger, I went to horse camp multiple summers?
No. And when you say horse camp, Tell me what you mean.
I mean, I went to camp.
Yeah.
And there was like a horse
away
farm.
From your house, not like a day camp. This was I'm there. I'm living on the ranch.
From my house for like 40 minutes away, but I didn't stay there. But I stayed at my grandparents' house because they lived closer. They lived like 10 minutes away from it. So for the week I stayed at their house and they would just take me and drop me off in the morning. It was a full day of like learning how to care for horses and riding the horses. And then at the end of the week, we had a little horse show where we got to trot around and gallop.
And this was a 1 week thing, or was this a month long, 2 month, all summer?
The first time I went, it was 1 week. And then I think the second summer and the third summer was 2 weeks. Mm.
Do you remember any of the names of the horses that you got to care for?
I don't. But I remember going to horse camp very vividly. And I learned
Little Sebastian.
I really wanted a horse. I still do. I love horses. Who doesn't love a horse? Am I right?
When I first met Jessica, she had horses on her farm. And I remember in my terrible flirting, I was convinced that I would woo Jessica by asking her if I could ride her horse, but I would need her to ride the other horse next to me and be completely naked on the saddle.
That's bad flirting.
It's terrible flirting.
Someone to be naked.
Yes. I recognize that now in my adulthood. But there's still Facebook messages of this conversation that exist.
Do I give off horse girl energy? I need to know, because I feel like people really make fun of horse girls.
Now that you say it, it all makes sense. This helps me understand who you are, where you've come from,
on water.
And where you're going. Is Scarlett going to be a horse camp girl?
She gets excited every time we drive by horses, which here is a lot. We do drive by them typically at least once daily, normally multiple times.
Why don't you guys just get a horse?
Because we don't have anywhere to put one. And boarding them is expensive, but I would love one.
Well, but someday when you guys move to Chicago, we can get a
horse. Not doing that. You're moving
ranch.
Here.
Ah, yes.
You understand what the lack of communication is.
I think it's on your end.
What? Probably because this is a voicemail.
This whole podcast has been me just messing with you. This has been a voicemail for 3 years. Leave a message after the beep.
And go
beep.
Fuck yourself. okay, well, now that we've gone off.
Did you ever watch the Horse Camp movies?
No.
There's Horse Camp movies called Horse Camp.
I feel like someone else recently told me about this.
I think it was us talking to you about it. Because there's a friend of ours who was an actress in the Horse Camp movies.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Mm-hmm. I recall now.
This episode is brought to you by horses.
Horse camp.
Oh.
Horse girls.
Horse camp girls.
Do
Anyways.
You know my favorite candy bar?
Candy bar or candy?
Candy bar.
Hundred grands.
No.
Heath. Butterfinger. Oh, I knew that.
Butterfinger. And guys, there's not a lot of, it's a lot of work for me to find Butterfingers now. They used to be everywhere. They're not. I actually recently had Googled, did they stop making Butterfinger? Because they're like only in Publix. They're not in Target.
Huh. Do you know my favorite candy bar?
Reese's?
No.
Are you sure?
Well, Reese's isn't a candy bar.
Well, we've had this debate before, and I agree. I don't think it is, but when I had polled the group, everyone said that it was, and that was
No. I was on your side.
I remember polling the group, and I remember a lot of people saying that they liked that Reese's was a candy bar. And
Reese's is a candy. It is not a candy
Most
bar.
Most people in our group also said it was their favorite candy bar.
Cookies and cream, Hershey's.
That is a good one.
That's is the best.
I think that might be Michael's favorite.
That's the best candy bar. But best candy, oh, that's a toss-up. I have been trying to eat less Skittles.
They are hard on your teeth.
And cancer.
Oh.
The dye, the food coloring yes. dyes.
Yeah.
We actually had this, I know we should talk about Grays. We were talking about Cali. Anyways, last thing. We have like just fresh fruits and vegetables out on mm-hmm. the countertop at all times. And I find myself just walking by and eating cherry tomatoes, just like two at a time. Mm-hmm. It's better than digging into some Skittles.
Handful of Skittles, yeah.
Yeah. I feel there like Ted Lasso, but instead of peanut butter, it's cherry tomatoes.
There was this thing on Reddit about like things your partner does that is absolutely like horrendous. And one of them was my partner mixes M&Ms and Skittles in a bowl and just eats them by the handful. I was like, divorce.
That is
media and divorce. Would end
that person has taken the life of a human before. That's a serial killer.
That's disgusting. Okay. Anyways, so then Callie goes home and she's very upfront with Arizona to dive back into it. First time we see Arizona all episode, right? She Callie
and she's
in.
Excited. She's like, Arizona's timeshare like, city.
You want to go this month or next month? And Callie shows her the thing and she's like, this girl gave me her number and I couldn't get it off my hand.
Because she wrote it with a Sharpie.
And she was like, I don't want to use this. But all I can think about is whether or not this person might actually want a kid. Because you don't. Like, what are we doing anymore? And it is a bummer. But it is, again, like, well, we've just been saying they've been delaying the inevitable, and now we are here.
This scene was
says, a... There's one thing that I need, and I can't change it, and I can't ask you to change. And Arizona says, I don't want you to change, and I can't be the one that keeps you from having a baby. I love you, and we can keep going. And Kelly says, but I don't know where we're going. And then Callie starts Fair. Crying and is like, what are we going to do? And Arizona says, well, I'm going to get my stuff together. And Callie's still crying. And Arizona's like, we'll see each other at work. And Callie says, I'm so sorry. I love you. And it is breakup scenes like this are so hard for me because it's like no one has done anything wrong. It just doesn't work. They're just not going to be together.
Yeah. This is now the second time in the same fucking season that Shondaland has ripped a couple apart that did not want to leave each other.
Mm-hmm. Essentially for some very similar reasons.
Yeah. And you're right. It is sad. It's sad because there's two people who clearly want to be together. And it's also, it's shitty that there's people who don't want to be together in this world who don't leave each other for whatever reason. And these people clearly want to be together and they can't because they don't want to make the other person change, which I respect. And I knew they were going to break up. I called it.
You did. It's sad.
It's
you also
so,
said it was. It reminded me of the Mark and Lexi one because you were like, it's so sad when people break up and they still have that like kiss and like that love is still there.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the other time. That was the other time in this yeah. season that we get a breakup that they don't want to break up. And it's also so now we've seen Callie go through two breakups, one of which she got cheated on. Mm-hmm. And now she has someone who could have been the love of her life, but just didn't want kids.
Yeah.
And it's sad. And poor Callie.
It's so true. So sad.
I am hopeful. I'm hopeful that one of two things happens. Either. And this is both a hope and this is my official prediction. One of these two things is going to happen.
Yeah.
Either they're going to become best friends and find their own loves. Or Arizona's going to come around for whatever reason it is. And I'm not saying she has to. And I'm not saying come around in... I'm not saying like come around and like saying, oh, like I should have kids.
She's going to change.
She's going to... Something is going to make her want to change for Callie. Specifically.
Yeah. I see why you want that. But we also have to remember our previous conversation of like...
I'm not saying that I would be happy about that.
It's kind of one of those things that's like... For me, if I'm Callie, I'm then like, yes, I'm excited because I want to be with this person that I want to have. Now it feels like I've got everything. But I'm also worried that at some point that person is either going to be like, well, I didn't really want this. I just wanted to do whatever you needed. Or just constantly hold it over my head like, well, I did this huge thing for you that I didn't want to do.
No, I understand that. I'm not saying that it.
You just want them to be together.
I want them to be together. But I also, it is, you know, whether or not, it is Arizona's right as someone who doesn't want kids.
Yeah. Well, and I like that they frame it very amicable.
Absolutely.
They both say like, I don't want to ask you to change and I don't want to keep you from the thing that you want.
Yeah.
And so I like that. It's not.
It's great recognition on both ends.
You don't let me have this, so we can't be together. That's not how they do it. And I really like the way that they ended up doing the way they do it.
Yeah. So I'm sad about it. It's a bummer. It makes me, I'm just sad about it.
Yeah.
I hope they still remain friends, though. I really do. Yeah. I really fucking do. Because they have a good, funny dynamic, just in general. Like, they've had good scenes together. They've got good comedic timing. Arizona as a character, I've really grown to like. Callie, I've liked for a long time. So, we'll see. We've got a couple minutes before we've got take a quick break. Should we talk kind of just a little bit about the Hunt, Teddy, Meredith kind of specific scene real quick, because that ties into Derek and Christina too.
Yeah,
a little bit here, and then the Gary Clark storyline.
So not a great episode for Owen,
no,
to say the least. He did a shitty thing and wants no consequences, and I don't love that.
Yeah.
And so basically relate to Meredith so much when she's like, I just looked at him, and Derek goes, well, fucking everyone knows when you're pissed off.
Yeah. Goes, oh, you looked at him. That's your problem.
My face. And I'm like, OK, well.
And then he says, yes, kind of yes, I job, do need. Yeah, you do need control your face. Have we not gone through sensitivity training, Meredith? We just did this.
But I so to back up. What we're referencing is, if you do not recall, last episode, Christina goes to Owen and she says, go tell Derek to give Teddy a permanent contract because I can't lose her. And Owen says, OK. And then goes in and says, hey, if you don't give Teddy a contract, no worries. She's going to be fine. She'll just move across the country and we'll never see her again. And that will make my life a lot easier. And so.
Couldn't have done less.
And then continues to let Christina believe that he went in and abdicated for her. And so Derek in this episode asks Meredith, do you think Owen and Teddy could work together? And Meredith goes, well, yeah, why wouldn't they be? And Derek says, well, you know, just, you know, Hunt didn't really go to bat for her for the job. And I thought that was kind of weird. And Meredith says, oh, interesting. How interesting that that is the case of what has happened. And so then later on, Teddy goes to Owen and says, thank you so much. I got a permanent contract and Christina told me that you pushed on Derek for me. And I really appreciate it. And I'm very happy to stay here and get to work here. And Owen says, no problem, bestie. And then Teddy,
I would do anything for you, Teddy.
Daggers. Just I fucking see you, you little bitch. You better watch yourself. Because I will murder you in your as she should.
Honestly. She really, Meredith, again, the word I'm going to use, cunning. She sees this shit go down.
She's got the and big Owen, picture going on.
Yeah. The thing I don't like about Owen is he's like, hey, Derek, how come your bitch is out here telling the entire fucking hospital my business and that I hate Teddy? And Derek is like, first off, do not call my wife a bitch. but he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. But I did tell her.
But I didn't not tell her. I did not keep it a secret.
But when Owen's like, I don't need the whole hospital finding out from Meredith. Like, no, okay, she hasn't fucking told a single soul, dude. Calm down.
Yeah, she didn't say anything to him. She just glared at him. Which, honestly, with everything else that's gone on between the two of them this season, I feel like that's probably just the standard of how her face is towards him at this point. So maybe he can calm down about getting so upset.
Also, what's the problem, Owen? You'll be found out and you'll lose both your friend and your girlfriend because you're a shitty person in this situation. I don't know
consequences,
what
consequences, like, my guy.
Consequences.
I don't feel bad for you.
Like, you know, today, Marlo hit me in the face with her little rubber duck. And I said, you no longer have this duck. And she cried. And there's consequences to your actions.
That was the consequence. And I said, Marlo, can you say consequence?
And she goes, wah, 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 wah. So, yeah, hun. And then when Derek goes back to Meredith and is like, well, I can't tell you anything because you're going to tell the whole hospital some bullshit. And she's like, I didn't tell anyone. And that's when he gives the, oh, okay, well, what did you do? And she's like, I just looked at him. And he goes, oh, you looked at him. Well, fuck.
How fucking dare you? And then she's like, okay, calm down. And he's like, okay, I'm calming down. And she goes, okay, I'm going to tell Christina. And he's like, God damn it, Meredith.
I just calmed down.
What are you talking about? Which, listen, I understand why he's mad. Clearly, with everything else in this episode, he's got a lot on his plate. He's got a lot on his mind. My issue is the way that he voices his feelings and concerns to Meredith. What he is saying is probably not, as much as I hate to say it, not wrong. Like, because he is in a position of being the chief, he wants to still be able to, like, talk to Meredith about work and not have to be, like, carrying that on his own. But he also, like, wants to be in a spot where he knows without a doubt that nothing that he says to her is going to, like, get back to anybody else or impact the way anybody is working at the hospital. But because of her relationship with Christina, obviously in this scenario, that is not going, like, if it were for Christina, Meredith would not give a flying fuck that Owen did that. She'd be like, I mean, okay, whatever. That guy kind of sucks.
It's shitty, but, like, yeah. The thing that was hard about this is he's like, well, I can't tell my wife 80% of the shit that goes on in the hospital. Fair. The other hard part of that is that Meredith is not even an attending. It's not like she's a high-level person within this hospital. Mm-hmm. She's still just a resident.
Yeah.
There's a huge level of
point where she says, well, like, I have to tell Christina, and he says, like, fuck no, don't do that. And she says, I understand that you're the chief, but Christina's the same person she's always been, so how is that fair? Because you're the one that has changed. So why does she now have to be punished and potentially get very, very hurt? Because you have a different job.
Yeah. So. And when she asks, she's like, what am I supposed to do? And Derek says, nothing. You do nothing. And then walks away.
Again,
and he's
the presentation,
like,
is really where a lot of my issue lies with this man.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you have feelings and points that are not invalid. But, like, you need to, like, find a way to express them to your partner in a way that is not hateful and unkind.
Yeah. There is another thing going on in the background that is causing the tension to get high, and we will talk about that after a brief break and a word from our regional sponsors. So Gary Clark is creating.
Let's take a minute and think about all the times in this hospital someone has actually committed malpractice. And then this time, when literally no one did that, and now they're like, we'll do a lawsuit. The only other time we've seen a lawsuit that I recall is when Derek cut out the entirety of that woman's brain.
What about the one that Addison got sued for?
But they didn't show that. Nothing happened. Like, get a lawyer.
Yeah.
Moments like that where they're like, oh, we're going to get sued. Oh, so-and-so's like, this was bad, whatever. But they don't ever like show the storyline.
That's fair. Yeah.
So I just think it's interesting that like, actually they were just, as much as I don't love Derek, he was just practicing medicine correctly.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we will sue you for murder.
Well, and it's funny because the lawyer, what's her name?
I don't remember her name.
Sweet something. Her name is a name.
Yes. She has a name.
Sorry, I don't know what it is. Lauren. Someone out there is like, ah, this is her full name. She's in the show I watch. She's so cool. Sorry. So she tells Derek, listen, they don't have a case. Just talk about the person as the patient, mm-hmm. not by her first name, not as Mrs. Clark, not as this, just the patient. And then they go to the deposition, and it could not go worse.
Yeah.
It could not be more of a train wreck.
So they make it, I will say, they make it seem as though typically in cases like this at depositions, the patient's loved one, the plaintiff, is not there. So I think that is what throws Derek off. The fact that Gary Clark is actually there and he's having to like recount all of this in front of this man who is obviously heartbroken and still upset about it. Is what is kind of pushing him more in and pushing like Derek's buttons because he does feel bad. There's not,
right.
It's not as though he said, ha 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 ha, I killed your wife. Fun for me.
That bitch was about to wake up and I said, fuck no, fuck Gary Clark.
No. And I punched her in the head and I cut out all of her brain.
So, I still have her brain in a jar on my desk.
Just for fun. So. Fuck. Yeah, we're doing great.
Last episode was so serious. So,
you know. Yeah, we really took a turn. We wanted to overcorrect in this one.
Let's make fun of Gary Clark.
Listen. Anyways, it
dead
is
wives.
The multiple scenes of the deposition are hard to watch because
yes.
Derek is upset. Mr. Clark is upset. The lawyer is like, hey, you're doing a bad job because you're like making it seem like you did something wrong. And he says, no, they're making it like the lawyers are doing the lawyer that Mr. Clark has is doing a good job of trying to like trip Derek up and make him seem like he doesn't give a shit about people.
Yeah. Well, what does Annalise Keating tell us? You don't really have to make a good case, but you gotta fucking stir up some mud, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you just gotta make people wonder.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's tough to watch. And then in the first part when they're going over it and Mr. Clark's like starts to get really upset and he like cries and they have to like take a break and that's really sad. And then in the second half, when he gets really upset, but stands up and tells Derek, he's like, I begged you not to unplug her. And all you did was say, sorry, like legal, blah, blah, blah. You're a coward and a killer. And they're like, damn.
Well, yeah. It's you kind of hit this point too, where the lawyer is just, he just keeps saying, I need to know how long did it take for you to decide this woman was going to die? And then Derek's like, well, I had to get legal involved. We had an ethics committee. And the lawyer's like, no. How long did you make up your mind? Did it take for you to make up your mind? And Derek goes, less than a minute. And it's obviously very emotional because Gary's like, we've been together for 32 years, over half my life, and it took you a minute to decide that she doesn't live anymore.
Yeah.
And it's not exactly what happened,
no.
But it's, I will say, behind the scenes, Derek did seem very crass about the situation because he's like, damn, yeah, look at that bleed. That girl is dead. Let's get some coffee.
Meredith, you're so pretty.
Gosh. You're just as pretty as this fucking brain bleed that this woman is dead. She's not going to live. There's nothing I can do, but we need to go get a Starbucks. So it is crass. We do see that. But that doesn't mean
that it was bad doctoring, because he wasn't bad doing doctoring. It like, to the patient's face.
It was efficient doctoring. It just wasn't
kind.
You know, kind.
It was not sensitivity training doctoring.
No. So I do feel bad. It is very, it's a sad episode. It's sad to see that guy. And also, like, just think of what you would do if you were the other person in that room and your significant other died and you were together for 32 years. Like, already we're like, Jessica, I think once we hit our like 7-year anniversary, married anniversary, that is officially over half of my life that we've been together something like that. You know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's I mean, I feel bad for him. The issue, it just comes down to the fact that, like, she had the advanced directive. Like, yes,
correct,
she could have stayed plugged in, she probably still would never have woken up, but because it's written out, and I feel like that was not harped on enough in that deposition. Like, this woman explicitly said that what she wanted, and, you know, was very clear about it. And yes, I understand Gary's point of, like, well, that was when we thought things were different with her diagnosis and everything, but unfortunately that doesn't matter. That's what she said she wanted, so they're bound to it.
It's
just a bummer. I just think it's interesting that of all the times that a malpractice suit would have been way more warranted, this is where we've landed.
LVAD wire, anyone? And you know that family had the money to afford the lawyers.
Yeah. But they also didn't need the money from a malpractice suit.
Right. So we get the scene after that where Mr. Clark is walking away and the lawyer comes over to Derek and is like, I don't actually need to talk to you, but I need you to not go talk to them. So he said his piece. You said your piece. It's done. It's finished. We're done.
Well, and I like what she said. She's like, you're not a bad person. You're kind. And that's, like, why he wanted to go talk to him, is because he's not a bad person. He wanted to go over and be like, I didn't want to hurt you or your wife. I mean, that's at least my belief. But the lawyer is basically like, just, you know, he said his piece. He got to yell at you. Like, he's probably, like, got it out of his system now. So just, let's all move on now.
Yeah.
So.
And then Mark takes him to hit golf balls into.
Okay. I am so glad that we have gotten here, because this is a bit that comes back, like, just randomly throughout the series. All right. Spoilies, whatever. This drives me fucking insane. You're going to tell me that if I go to the top of a very tall building in a busy city and smack golf balls off the top of it, I'm not going to bust windshields out of cars or hit people on the head and kill them? This drives me insane. I'm like, the ramifications of this are horrendous. You are hitting a golf ball very hard from a very high up distance. It is going to kill a person.
I think we're led to believe they're doing it directly into the water.
I don't think they're that close to the Puget Sound.
I don't know where they're standing.
There's ferries. They could hit a person on a ferry.
Yes.
I think about this all the time. I fucking hate it. It drives me insane. I think about this. There have been episodes when I'm like, someone is going to come in this episode, later on in the episode, with a golf ball to the head injury because of you people.
Yeah. Hey, Ryan, when you're on the ferry in Seattle next week, just don't die. Don't let Mark or Derek. Yeah. Don't let those doctors kill you, Ryan.
Those attractive ass doctors. Anyways.
Yeah.
That's something I feel very strongly. Did that cross your mind at all? Am I an insane person for thinking it?
No. You're for sure a sane person. You're not insane. I don't know where they're at. I don't know where they're standing.
I mean, because I also had the thought of like maybe the implication is they're going directly into the water, but still the ferry boat obsession and the ferry boat crash, we know there's constant traffic on that water. That's not safe either.
Also, golf balls are not biodegradable, people.
Oh, they're heavy. Like they're heavy. They're dense.
They're dense. They will kill you. They'll crack your skull wide open. I guess Derek doesn't feel too bad because he's like, well, if I crack their head with a golf ball, I'll just save them because I'm a neuro doctor.
And Mark's like, and I'll make them look good again.
I'll make them look like a golf ball. All right. So we have this lady who has a heart attack.
Yes.
And she dies.
Yes.
We see her for 6 seconds and she dies. But the storyline is more focused on Christina being a babysitter.
Well, before we get to that, I do want to go over the differences of a heart attack in men and women, because if you'll recall, this is a teaching hospital.
Damn it.
So let's go over these symptoms, because the typical media portrayal of a heart attack is chest pain, can't breathe, left arm hurts, right? Those are all true in both men and women. Okay. There are other differences. Women, for whatever reason, have a wider array of symptoms when they are having a heart attack. Extreme fatigue, terrifying because I'm always extremely tired. Indigestion, terrifying because I eat like shit, so I always have indigestion. Fainting, luckily I don't do that. So, shortness of breath, kind of scary. I do have asthma.
Are you having a heart attack right now?
This is a teaching hospital, damn it, is a new segment that we've created that's just going to make me into a hypochondriac. So that's fun for me. Chest pain, but not always. Pain or pressure in the lower chest or upper abdomen, which is still like the stomach, so that makes sense. And then nausea or vomiting can actually be a symptom in both men and women. Jaw, neck, back, and shoulder pain can be a symptom in men and women. With women, it is typically upper back.
Huh.
And then men have like a squeezing chest pain or pressure in their chest. And then both will have shortness of breath. So
interesting.
Yeah, lightheaded, dizziness can also be one in women. Cold sweat for men is also one. And then typically, if you're going to have arm pain, it is most of the time going to be on your left arm. That's where the side of your heart is on.
Interesting.
So good times, guys. So listen to your body.
Yeah, this is a lot.
Especially if you have like a history of heart disease or heart attacks in your family. And seek
help. Like me.
I also do.
I gotta really watch the old ticker here. So do you want
the American Heart Association actually has these symptoms kind of numbered in like the order that they may occur if you're having a heart attack. This is not specific to a gender. This is just, it says pain or discomfort in chest is number one. Lightheadedness, nausea, vomiting would be number two. Number three is jaw, neck, or back pain. Number four is discomfort or pain in the arm or shoulder. And number five is shortness of breath. Again, in media, they kind of always show it as someone just gasping and grabbing their left arm. I think it's good to know the signs so that typically with strokes and heart attacks, they always say like time is really important with those specific things, because the earlier you catch them, the easier it is to kind of save the person or like stop the problem. So it's good to keep an eye out for those signs and get treatment if you think that something is going on. Unexplained anxiety. Are you kidding me? Oh my God. This is my nightmare.
Yeah, you need to get off this. You got to stop looking at this. You got to stop teaching this hospital, damn it.
I needed to help people, but like, seriously? I was just listing my personality. My personality is...
Do you have a PCP yet? If not, get one.
I do need to get a new one. Anyways, so yes, back to Kelly and... I don't remember the mom's name because she dies. Nancy.
Nancy Temple.
So she comes in, she's nauseous and dizzy. Teddy examines her, her EKG, saying she's having a heart attack. So they start her on nitroglycerin and take her to the cath lab, because I guess sometimes, again, with early heart attacks, if you can just go in the cath lab and like take care of it and not have to do a full surgery. However, something goes on. Her ventricular wall ruptured whilst in the cath lab, and so she has to be rushed to surgery, where she unfortunately dies. Now, the whole thing is, when they tell the mom, we have to take you right now, and the mom's like, we don't live here, we're here from Miami, we're supposed to fly home tomorrow, my husband's not here, and they're like, we'll call your husband, someone will stay with your daughter, Christina, stay with the daughter, and she's like, excuse me, I don't want to do that. But she does. And it's
luckily,
obviously a great, incredible episode for Christina.
I think there's two main points we need to call out.
Yeah.
The scene where Christina chooses to stay with the daughter.
Yes.
And then the card scene.
Yes. So, first of all, one of my favorite lines in the episode is when she tells Meredith, the social worker won't answer my pages. And Meredith said, well, that's not very social. and then immediately after, Christina goes, where's Callie? She's been whining for a kid. Hilarious. So funny. And so when they are trying to, Christina takes Kelly, the child, to go find out an update on the mom, to see where she's at, what's going on, when she's still in the cath lab. While they're on their way to find out, the Teddy, Jackson, and a bunch of other people like rush the mother past them down the hallway onto the elevator, and they're like, this happened, we have to go to surgery right now. In that moment, Christina sees the little girl's like panic. Oh, this is also immediately following Christina saying, I know that you're scared. And the girl says, how do you know? And she goes, well, because when I was your age, my dad and I were in a car accident and he was really hurt and I was really scared. And the girl goes, was he okay? And Christina goes, yeah, he's fine, which we know is a lie. Her dad died. They were literally the exact same age. She tells George, when I was 9, my dad died in a car crash. She had her hand on his heart when it stopped beating. So important things to remember in the context of this episode.
Correct.
So then she sees this girl panic. She's like screaming for her mom. She's alone. Christina has been with her all day, so she has, as much as she may or may not have disdain for the fact that she's not been in the surgery, she has built a relationship with this child. And she does know quite literally what she's feeling in this moment. So she says to Teddy, do you need me? And Teddy's like, what? And she goes, you have Avery. Do you also need me? And Teddy's like, get in or out of the elevator. Like, fuck off. I am trying to save this woman. So Christina steps out and stays with the girl. Very out of character. I don't want to say out of character, because to me it tracks and it makes sense. But surprising, I guess, would be a better word.
Yes. It's not surprising if you think about the arc that Christina's gone through as a character.
Right,
it is surprising.
Context.
Yes. All the times that Bailey has helped her with her bedside manner and who she is as a person, blah, blah, blah. But it is interesting anytime you see Christina choose to elect to not do the surgery.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, so then they're playing cards while they're waiting. And Christina's kind of explaining, like, you know, the wall of your heart's supposed to be really thick, but your mom's is really thin. So they're trying to fix it. And like, these are the things going on. And the girl goes, well, what if my mom dies? And Christina says, well, then we'll figure that out if that happens. And then she sees Jackson, who motions to her that the mom has died. So instead of like shying away from it, Christina has a truly incredible moment with this child.
Truly, truly incredible.
And she says, if your mom dies, you'll feel a lot of things. First, you'll feel like you could have done more to help her, but that's not true. You did everything you could. It won't feel that way, but remember me telling you this. You did everything you could. And it will hurt every time you think of her, but over time it will hurt less and less, and eventually you'll remember her, and it will only hurt a little. Ugh.
When she was describing this scene...
I got goosebumps when I watched it. I got goosebumps just now when I read it again.
Yeah. It's... That is tough. And in this scene, I was starting to get a little emotional. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to envision a world where Marlo has to live without me or Jessica. Any time that's a traumatic thing and you're a young kid losing a parent, that sucks.
Yeah.
And that made me very emotional in that scene.
So for me, two things. What I wrote was Christina is healing her inner child by saying these things to this little girl. And I also wondered if she knows she needs to say it for one of two reasons. Because someone said it to her and it helped, or because no one said it to her and she needed to hear it.
Ooh, good call out. Good. Wow.
But like either way, the choice for her to not just wait and have someone else deal with this, but to do it herself is like such a powerful moment for her.
Yeah.
When we know who she normally is, like when in regards to like everyone like shits on her for being like a robot. And so to give her this moment, you know, I love it just as much as the choice to give Alex the moment with Bobby. It's like you wouldn't think those are not the people who excel in this arena.
The bedside manner, caring, patient first, connect. Yeah, yeah.
And so it's just like such an incredible choice, and I love it so, so much. And then later on, Jackson approaches her and is like, "Hey, you did a great job with that kid today." And she's like, "Thanks." And he says, "When did your mom die?" And Christina goes, "She didn't." And he was like, "So your dad?" And she was like, "What are you talking about?" And he was like, "I'm sorry if that's too personal. It's just like clearly when you were talking to that girl, it just kind of felt like, you know, you were speaking from experience." And Christina was like, "It's so insight." Like immediately walls up, like can't, which makes sense because of like when you're basically watching a child live a trauma that you experienced as a child. Like I can't imagine the emotional toll that would take on a person. So she just immediately is like, "Fuck this guy." Which is in line with her character, but also you hate to see it.
Yeah.
She gets snarky. That's so insightful. You're a super sensitive man. Let me tell you what you saw today. And then was like, I just was so sensitive. I rocked sensitivity training. I'm like so good at patient sensitivity. So fuck off. And then just walks away. And immediately, like, you see the emotion hit her. And Meredith catches up to her and starts bitching about the Derek thing. And then Christina's like, "Can you go away?" Which is obviously not their relationship typically. And Meredith is like, "What is wrong?" And Christina says, "Can you get me Owen?" Which Meredith doesn't want to do because she wants to tell her what's going on with Owen. But she also recognizes in that moment that that is what Christina needs. And so she does it. And of course, fucking Owen's like, "Oh, I can't believe you told her." She's like, "I didn't fucking tell her anything, you piece of ass."
Yeah.
God damn him. So he goes in and like the break, Christina lets all of the emotions finally hit her. And she just says, "I miss my dad." And like, that's really the one that got me. That's when I really teared up and I was like, "Christina, my little precious baby angel, I love you so much. She's my favorite. I would die for her. I love her so much. She's my number one always." But like, oh, it just hurts me so much.
And did you text your dad after that and say, "Thinking of you, Dad"?
No, but I saw him earlier in the morning, so we had some chats already. We also, both my parents and I have the relationship of every time we leave anywhere or hang up the phone, we say, "I love you." So I just always feel confident in my last words with anybody.
Am I going to get to see both your parents this next weekend?
Yes, I definitely think so.
Cool.
Good times.
Man, yeah. No, that was a great, great scene with Christina. Great acting all around. Sorry that Jackson got shit on. What did she say? Go be someone else's,
someone else's dish rag.
What the fuck does that even... What does that even mean?
I don't know. Like, cleaning someone. Like, if you see someone that you think is a quote-unquote a mess and you want to, like, fix them, you're, like, mopping them up. That's kind of how I took it. I don't know if that's actually what that means. Fair. Or if she just said something that she felt was insulting because she wanted to hurt him in that moment.
You're a dish rag!
I
think the only thing we really need to talk through before we wrap this up is Alex. Alex,
oh, yeah. Alex signs your divorce.
Yeah, Alex signs the papers. Bailey won the weight pool bet. And yeah. Lexi is disgusted. The hypocrisy. Thy name is Bailey.
I love it so much. Like, though. It's so, to me, it's so on brand. And like,
for
so
sure.
In character for Bailey.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, like, you know, don't be a dick, but I'm not missing out on this shit.
Right. Which at the cafeteria scene earlier, we didn't acknowledge that it starts with Reed saying, hey, get me in for 7:15. I want in on this action. So anyways,
78 closest without going over.
Yeah.
Price so is right rules.
Bailey won. And then she's like, blah, 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 blah. And then he just lays one on her and he kisses her. And people are walking by leering, rubbernecking.
Well, because at this point, it's a secret. So earlier yes. in the episode, Meredith is like, you need to either make this actually a thing with Lexi or yes. like cut it off. Either
Which I just love.
Do something. And so Alex is like, I'm divorced and now I can be with Lexi. Like, be and, with her.
Yeah. And he says, you want to like, are you going home? You want to like go together? And then they hold yeah. hands.
It's cute.
They hold hands.
It's a cutie cute moment.
Mm-hmm. So finally, we have a relationship where people are on the same level.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Oh, man.
What's your rating for this one? You go first.
Am I a crazy person for giving this a 5?
It's a 5. I was like, he's not going to give it a 5 and then I'm going to look dumb. No, this is a 5.
It's a 5.
And I will say, I didn't think going into watching it, because I knew this episode and I was like, oh yeah, no, it's like good. Like stuff happens. But like watching it this way and
it just tackles so much shit
together. I mean, honestly, we've only had a couple of tangents that weren't that long and we've gone, this is going to be one of, both of these are over an hour.
Yeah.
Because of how much we've had to say about it. Other than me being a horse girl, we haven't really had that many tangents.
Right. I gotta tell you, I don't think that it was playing this Bobby character was not easy. It's not easy to sit there and empathize. I think as the way society is hardwired, I think it's hard to sympathize for an obese fictional character in a way other than, oh, I'm so sorry you're heavy. Yeah, you look at this guy. Correct. And you look at this guy and you're like, oh shit, you're not, you run the risk of not being a dad. It's like,
but you're like rooting for him.
You're rooting for him. Yes.
Which is definitely not, I feel, yeah, not the norm. In a lot of ways that would be presented.
So he acted the shit out of this character. And I got to tell you, I think that he may have cracked like the top 3 or 4 patients that we've gotten.
Yeah.
I put him on big Jim, big John level.
Big Jim
level. Just like really well acted, great character. The wife being thrown into the mix, being pregnant, was just mm-hmm. it hit you with so many fucking out of like what else is going to happen in this episode.
Yeah.
And then there obviously was like the drama with Hunt and you have Derek and the lawyer situation, and there wasn't a ton of like really hardcore intense medical drama, but then when the ribbon on top of this episode is the heartbreak that we feel as the viewers of watching Callie and Arizona navigate a breakup. Yeah. Like, this was just a really well acted, really well written, and the plot lines did so much and it didn't feel overbearing.
Yes.
It, like, they didn't cram it.
It does, like, it feeds into the character arcs that we already know, like, specifically yes. for Alex and Christina. And even with Derek, like, the lawyer has to tell him to be cold, because he's not, like, he is affected by this lawsuit.
Yes.
He feels bad. And, like, it's just another example of, like, you know, for so long he's been like, I want to be chief. And this job is just beating the ever loving shit out of him. It's not what he wanted it to be. Like, I guess it's not what he thought it would be. And so it's just, like, all feeding together. It's impacting his ability, like, to be a doctor, like, to practice medicine, and then also the way he's looking at patients. It's impacting his relationship with the other doctors. It's impacting his relationship with Meredith. Like, this job is, like, taking a toll on him, and that's, I don't think, I mean, in my opinion, I think he pictured it as being, like, I will have everything I have ever wanted when I have this job, because I will have my wife, and I will have this dream job, and, like, everything will just be exactly as I want it. It's obviously not what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, fuck Owen, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. And the only other thing I would call out this episode, the only other note that I have, is when Bailey right off the bat says, half you motherfuckers were raised by wolves, so let's get your so shit together.
So true. And those people, the one she's referring to specifically, you know she's talking about Alex, you know she's talking about Christina, and those are the two that shine so much for connection and yes. patient sensitivity in this episode.
Yeah.
And I fucking love it. Those writers yeah. know what they're doing. This is a five. Yep. This is a hard five.
I honestly wouldn't say it's a hard five. I think it's
a hard five.
It is a five, but it, like, I didn't decide what I was going to give this episode until you asked me what I was going to give it.
Yeah, I didn't think about it until we were, and I was thinking about all the things we talked about.
Yeah.
And it was just a really good episode.
So, rapid fire predictions. Okay, so Callie and Arizona, I've already said that. Yes. I think they're going to be friends. They're going to be friends. They're going to find love. Callie will have a baby before season 7 is over. I am predicting that Mark and Teddy are still working on their shit. I'm predicting that Owen is not going to be found out about not going to bat for Teddy, and this is going to be the end of that conversation, and it's never going to get back to anyone else. I am predicting that Derek still is going to not be chief by the end of the season 6 finale, but mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to get stolen from him. I think he's going to give it back to Weber. I think he's going to willfully vacate the position.
Yeah.
And Penis Fish Man can go suck a chode. So I'm trying to think who else. Alex and Lexi, I don't have a prediction mm-hmm. there. I'm just happy. I just want to vibe on that for a couple episodes. But Lexi would fall in line with the monologue that he gave to Chris, to Izzy, of I am worth it. I'm good.
I deserve someone who treats me better.
Yeah. And like, Lexi is a good person.
Yeah. We know that. Lexi is good. Lexi's good people.
Sloan still is around healing, or she's been discharged. Unclear.
Because we don't get a lot of Mark in this episode.
Yeah. And then who else do I need to, anyone else that I'm missing here?
Bailey.
Oh, Bailey. We're going to find out that she's boning. Her and Warren have been boning.
Okay.
Or either they have been, or they will bone soon.
I think that's it. We don't really need, there's not really much else to get into. We're so close to the finale, and we love a finale moment.
Yes.
So we have one more regular aired episode, and then two episodes that aired together as the finale. So we will be watching them together, and then we'll record together.
Yes.
So we're excited. And thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure you follow us on all the things: Grey's Academy Pod, TikTok, Instagram, Patreon. You can email greysacademypod@gmail.com. You can message us on Instagram. Carmen does not see the email or the Instagram, so say whatever the fuck you want. And we love hearing from you guys. We love chatting with you. Again, if you join our Patreon, you can get on our Discord and lots of conversations there that we love. We love all of our Discord babies. So Yeah, that's it. Remember, if you see Carmen walking down the street,
just remember, no spoilies, no spoilers. We appreciate you all. We appreciate your listenership. We appreciate your Patreon patronship. And we will see you all in the next one.